Chapter 1, Sunlight on Steel. A light upstream breeze stirred the slow-moving current of the Mississippi. The riffles sparkled in bursts of reflected sunlight, lapping against the thick planks of the barge's hull. The small steam paddle-wheeler pulling it belched black smoke in time with the uneven chug of its engines. Two heavy braided hemp ropes stretched taut from either corner of the stern to the bow of the barge. The two vessels were making sluggish progress toward the west bank. Above the murmur of the current, the shouts of men, bleats of oxen, and nickers of horses floated in the light wind of the late dawn. Zebariah Taylor's tall, thin frame leaned against the corner bulwark of the port side of the barge. He occasionally glanced up from the smoke he was rolling to take in the scene. His green eyes, deep-set and weathered features, carefully assessed the two wagons and teams that shared the barge with him. Now and then he glanced at the three pack mules loaded with supplies from St. Louis. The animals fidgeted, shook their heads, and stomped their hooves, shifting their weight from left to right. A muscular Mustang horse stood perfectly still at Zeb's side, not nervous, but completely alert. His eyes focused on something Zeb couldn't see far to the west and beyond the side of the river they were approaching. "You see something out there I can't, Buck?" The Tobiano did not change his stance nor look at Zeb. "Trouble, maybe?" One of the Mustang's ears flicked, and he let out a soft whinny. "Not going to let me in on the secret, are you? Well, never mind. I suppose we'll both find out soon enough." Ray's voices drew Zeb's eyes to the foremost wagon near the bow. He had surveyed the cargo-type rig as it trundled by him when the barge was loading. The wagon was solid, though older and makeshift, with an arched canvas cover. His curiosity had been stirred by the couple who shared the driver's seat. Zeb sensed in the stocky, dirty, blond-haired man who drove the rig a discomfited unfamiliarity with wagons, lines, and horses. They only had two horses, both older geldings. Not enough, thought Zeb to himself. A young, attractive, red-headed woman shared the driver's seat with a barrel-chested driver. The morning was chill, but not cold, yet she was bundled up, the somber gray shawl over her head not quite concealing semi-curly red hair, which peeked out from well-tailored, thick-knitted wool. Her shoulders were hunched as if the wagon was making its way into the teeth of a blizzard. She sat on the other side of the driving bench as far from the driver as she could get. Zeb had seen the man's hands clenched tightly around the lines as they drove by and noticed the scars over his knuckles. The woman's jaw was tense and her complexion pale. Zeb turned to Buck and ran a heavily calloused hand down the Mustang's cheek. "Doesn't much look like Mary Bliss to me," he confided to the horse. His reflections were interrupted by more raised voices coming from the front of the barge. "I don't need any of your lip, woman. I will make these foul-smelling beasts do exactly what I want. I can handle this wagon just fine. I hate being out in the middle of this river. Reminds me of the last time I was on water, and that was none too pleasant." The voice had a thick Irish brogue. There was a pause during which the woman, out of Zeb's line of sight, must have spoken. "Shut your mouth, bitch!" Zeb heard the man shout. But the woman must have disregarded her companion's admonition, for the driver raised his muscular right arm over his shoulder, set to deliver a backhanded blow. Before he could swing, the woman jumped. On the far side of the wagon, Zeb caught a glimpse of high-laced boots with rounded toes. Her feet tangled as the hems of her heavy wool gray skirt and horsehair petticoats, and she almost fell to the barge deck. The driver, cursing, jumped down from the near side of the seat and sprinted for the rear of the converted cargo rig, intent on interrupting his fleeing companion. She stopped in startled surprise as they met head-on at the tailgate, directly in front of the team pulling the second wagon. The frightened horses began to back up, lifting their forelegs nervously. Alarmed, the elderly couple in the rearward prairie schooner shouted. Zeb wrapped the reins once around the saddle horn. "Watch the mules, Buck." He strode toward the couple, their struggles obscured from time to time by the shifting of the horses. When he reached them, the man had the red-headed woman pinned against the back of their wagon, one hand clenched on her upper arm and the other beefy paw around her throat, pushing her head back into the canvas. The woman's wide blue eyes darted wildly from side to side. Surprised at how petite she was, Zeb was struck by the fear and loathing plainly etched in her features. Zeb stood several feet back, reached out one long, lanky arm and jabbed the driver's broad, bulky shoulders, covered by a brown canvas jacket. "This barge is mighty cramped. Ain't no place to have a fracas." The man partially turned his head to size Zeb up out of the corner of one eye. His grip around the woman's throat seemed to tighten. Color was draining from her face, and she gasped, her hands digging at the man's wrist, desperately trying to pry his fingers from her neck. "Stay out of my business, coonskin," spat the man. Zeb's right hand reached swiftly over his shoulder and behind his back. He silently withdrew his 14-inch blade knife from its scabbard. He stepped forward, leaned his chest into the man's back, and put the sharp edge to his throat. The man froze. Zeb pushed his lips so close to the man's ear that his dirty blonde hair mixed with Zeb's long handlebar mustache. In a cold whisper, Zeb breathed, "You best take your hands off, or in 1 second, I will likely part your head from your shoulders, and I don't say things twice." Zeb could feel the shock and anger radiate through the man. With one last shove against the woman's throat, the man released his grip and slowly straightened up. Zeb kept the cold steel of the knife pressed firmly against the flesh just below the man's Adam's apple.
"What the hell almighty is all this?"
It was the barge captain. "Nothing much, Andy. Just making sure these teams don't get spooked." Released from the vice of the burly hands, the woman's knees buckled and she almost fell to the coarse deck of the vessel. She caught herself with one hand on the wagon gate and slowly stood erect, struggling to breathe, her other hand frantically rubbing her neck. Zeb noticed the small band of freckles across the bridge of a delicate nose and the shape of her slightly parted lips as she gasped for air. The man, still in Zeb's grasp, started to speak and began to turn his body. Zeb pressed the blade into the man's flesh, enough to indent the skin without drawing blood. He raised his forearm, bringing the man to his tiptoes and off balance. "You would do well to keep your mouth shut. This barge needs to make the other side in one piece, otherwise we'll have bigger problems than this ruckus."
"Well, just hold on," the captain began to speak. Zeb cut him off.
"If you want to know what went on, you ask them in the wagon behind." He slung his head rearwards. "I suspect they seen what happened."
"And you need to settle down," he said to the man, the knife still pressed against his thick neck.
The woman had regained her breath, so she was still hunched forward, massaging her throat.
"Is this your husband, ma'am?"
The woman shook her head with unusual negative vehemence.
"Well, what is he to you?"
"She's my damn fiancé," the man's words died in a gurgle as Zeb drew the steel tighter against the man's windpipe.
"I weren't talking to you."
He turned his gaze to the woman. There were tears trickling from the corners of her eyes.
"You all right? Can you walk?"
She tentatively moved her head.
"Go on back there by the stern where that horse and three mules is. I'll catch up with you there in a moment, ma'am, after this gentleman gets cooled down a bit."
Zeb waited for the sounds of her boots to recede. With a sudden movement, he took the knife from the man's neck and took two long steps backward, the blade shining in the sun where it pointed from his still extended arm. The stocky figure whirled. His face was scarlet and twisted, and his eyes enraged. His hand began to run down the outside of his right trouser leg.
"If that's a boot blade you'd be going for, I'd think twice."
The man hesitated and sized up Zeb in his stance carefully. His eyes flicked a glance at the brace of pistols, one cap and ball, the other a Colt Army revolver snuggled in Zeb's belt, which anchored the waist of a well-worn fringed buckskin shirt that hung below his hips. The burly towhead straightened up.
"Nobody does that to Jacob O'Shanahan," he snarled through gritted teeth.
Zeb regarded him coolly.
"I just did. Now get up in your wagon, have a little sip of whiskey, and get unwound. This here crossing will be done shortly. You'll have far bigger things to worry about over the next coming months."
Jacob hesitated and then gave a surly shrug.
"Didn't catch your name, coonskin."
"Coonskin's my hat. I didn't mention my name."
Jacob leered. "Well, I'm sure we'll meet up again, coonskin."
Zeb relaxed slightly, took another stride back, and gestured with the tip of the knife.
"Up to the front. And yep, I spec we will." He waited until the man clambered back into the driver's seat so just his thick left shoulder was visible behind the front arc of canvas, and then turned and walked back toward the woman and his animals. She was leaning against the side of the barge. The long, delicate fingers of one hand stroked Buck's neck. The horse seemed to lean slightly into her touch. She was trembling, still very pale. Very beautiful, the thought flitted across Zeb's mind along with a memory. Another time, another woman. Maybe it's the rising sun shining auburn in her red locks, he thought. A bruise was forming around her neck. One hand was spread across her abdomen just below the very pleasant shallow curve of her hips. Zeb stood several feet away. You all right, ma'am? The woman nodded her head slightly. I'm Sarah, Sarah Bonney. Thank you for helping me. I think I'm going to be sick. Zeb moved quickly. Lean out over the side, ma'am. You'll be all right. Sarah clutched the lip of the gunwale with one hand, kept the other pressed against her belly, bent over the barge sidewall and retched. Zeb stood behind her, his hands resting gently on her square but slight shoulders, steadying the small, heaving form. When the nausea had passed, she turned and rested weakly against the bulwark. I'm sorry, she started to say, but Zeb interrupted. Nothing to be sorry about. I got a bandana in the saddlebag, he walked to Buck, untied the rawhide fasteners on the flap and turned back to Sarah. None too clean, but it'll do. He held out the reddish-brown, square-cut cotton cloth. You don't want my vomit on your bandana, Sarah protested feebly. Makes no never mind. I can just rinse it in the river when we get off. Take it, Zeb insisted. She nodded thanks, and Zeb noticed how the curled, auburn tips of her hair caught the light and brushed against her cheek as she moved her head. He chided himself and stepped back respectfully. Miss Bonney, I'm Zebariah Taylor. Them who know me better call me Zeb. That accent of yours. English? Zara looked up into Zeb's eyes and smiled pensively. Yes, Mr. Taylor, I am from England. Liverpool, to be exact. I landed in New York just a month ago. It seems so much longer. A look of anger and something else shadowed her face momentarily. Her lower lip trembled. She blushed, looked out over the river, and then turned her head back to Zeb. Are you headed west? Are you going with the wagon train? The last question seemed to carry a tone of hope. Her beautiful blue eyes dropped to the two raised purple scars that extended from below his left ear to his chin. He realized with a start it was the first time he actually cared that he had them. Lowering his chin, he angled his face so they were not quite as visible. Yes, ma'am. Had some business back here and some supplies to fetch in St. Louis, he nodded at the laden mules and new Grimsley saddles. Now I'm headed west with the wagons, though I suspect I'll keep some distance for the most part. I'm working, somehow speaking that word seemed foreign and he hesitated. I'm helping some friends, some folks and on the train. He paused again. It was a bear that done those. He looked down at his thick elk-hide moccasin boots and scuffed one toe on the uneven boards of the deck. They make you look quite distinguished, Mr. Taylor, like someone who's had experience in life. Boldly, she continued, like your salt and pepper mustache. Sometimes perhaps you should tell me the story of your bear. Sarah took a breath and smiled. If you want to, of course. What was your business back there, if you don't mind me asking? Some color had come back into her face. Zeb looked up and felt a grin grow under the bushy shadow of the handlebar curve of his heavy, long mustache. He raised one hand absentmindedly and smoothed the pointed tip where it tapered into the stubble just above his jaw. One day I might just do that. Nope, don't mind. It was personal. My family was murdered 20 or so years back. The farm burned out by a mad dog renegade. I lit out for the West. I had to come back and make my peace. She looked shocked. Zeb took a deep breath and his eyes flickered toward her wagon. Is that man, Jacob, your betrothed? Sarah abruptly broke her gaze. Her smile vanished. No, he's a traveling companion. He tells people that we're engaged to protect my dignity. Zeb sensed a deep, bitter irony in the last statement and he stood silent. Seems we both have things we'd rather not speak of. I'd better return to the wagon. It looks like we'll be ashore soon. Over her head, Zeb Zeb could see the shallow draft steam tug had begun to veer away from the looming shore. The tow ropes had been run forward and cast to the bank, where several brawny men were deftly trying to tying them to haul harnesses on two braces of hitched oxen. They would pull the barge the last 50 yards to the very eastern edge of the frontier Zeb knew as home. He looked behind him. Half a mile distant across the chop of the river, square building shapes of uneven heights marked the edge of St. Louis. "I won't be seeing you again, ever. My head is settled," he thought with satisfaction. To the north, two large white paddle boats with ornate rails and twin tall black stacks churned their way slowly downriver. He turned back, but Sarah was already halfway back to her wagon. Zeb watched her retreating figure for a moment and the slight side-to-side movement of her hips as she walked, her feminine sway visible even though ensconced in the thick wool and horsehair of her skirt and petticoats. The memory returned. With an effort, he shoved it back somewhere in the musty corner of his mind where it had slept until now. He felt Buck nuzzle the back of his head. The Mustang seemed to have his head cocked a bit to the side, and his big brown eyes stared directly into Zeb's. "What the hell are you looking at, Buck? If I want to say more than 5 words to a woman every 10 years, that's my business." Buck's left ear flicked forward. "Wait till the damn ramps are all the way down," Captain Andy shouted up front. There was a soft, muddy grating as the upward slope leading edge of the keel nestled into the muck and sand that was the eastern edge of the western half of America. Zeb couldn't see Jacob's figure, but he could see his hands pulling back harshly on the lines to the horses. He reached into his leather shirt, retrieved a suede pouch hanging from his neck, dug out a wad of chew, and bit off a chunk. He checked the over-under belly scabbard to make sure the .58 caliber Enfield musket and .52 caliber breech-loading Sharps rifle were snug in the leather, and spat down on the deck. Jacob and Sarah's wagons had begun to roll down the ramp into the shore grass greening with coming spring. Zeb watched as the rig creaked from side to side in the uneven, boggy ground and made its way to the group of canvas-topped Conestogas and prairie schooners at the top of a slight rise 200 yards from the river. "Mighty interesting. Yep, mighty interesting." He turned to Buck and the mules. "You fellas ready to head back to the mountains?" Two of the pack animals brayed, and Buck tossed his head up and down impatiently, the hackamore leather squeaking in the brisk air. "Okay, then. Let's go home."